Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, my esteemed co-host, Ipsy Ed Bondrick.
I'm not steamed. I'm just kind of normal. I'm not upset yet.
Esteemed.
Oh, yeah.
Esteemed.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Thank you for the estimation.
Steamed. I'm the one that gets steamed,
yes.
Right? Yeah, well, welcome to The Drift. And what we do every Saturday is go over the news that I put on the dailydrift.com. It's
the news you need to know.
Right off the bat.
Man, well, we've got a few years of this. I'm getting it down.
Yeah, right. Has it been that long?
Yes, about 3 years now.
Yeah. Geez Louise, been at this a while. And if you're not going to The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, you should.
We want to know why.
Yes.
Write us and tell us.
Tell me if I'm missing something that's making you not happy with it. But I put a little effort into that, and so go there. It's all the links to the news around the world and across the globe. So
that you need to know.
And if you don't want to call into the show, 734-822-1600, you can easily email me, gary@thedailydrift.com.
Yeah.
All right, let's take care of a little business. Rainy day like today, Ed?
Yeah.
Place you want to go for your graduation party, your wedding, your anniversary, your corporate event, Sutton Barn at Rolling Meadows Golf Course. You can go to Sutton Barn, that's SUTTON barn.com, or you can call 734-662-5144. Great place. They've got a bar, they got a pavilion, they got a stone cellar patio.
They have a golf course.
They have a golf course. I mean, everything that you could possibly want is there, and it's a great bar. I might actually go and have a drink there tonight.
Yeah, because you won't be outside. I'm going to my brother's granddaughter's graduation party in his backyard. Sure, there'll be a tent there, but you know, it's
Sometimes it's worth
these things
spending a little
Sutton
bit of money.
Barn.
You're going to spend the money on a tent anyway,
yeah,
and then have to deal with the setup and the teardown.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things.
Impress your
the Iannis. Iannis have done a very wonderful job getting that golf course and the event, Sutton Barn, up. It's a really unique place. Great prices. Call up Susan, 734-662-5144. SuttonBarn.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wanted to start the show today because we had two high-profile suicides this week. And it kind of bothers me because the only time we ever talk about it is when somebody famous commits suicide. Kate Spade this week, earlier in the week, the big fashion designer, she offed herself. Anthony Bourdain, right? The guy that...
Yeah, you'd think he has it all,
you
right?
would think he has it all. I mean, loved his shows. He has my dream job, right? Traveling the world, eating and drinking with local people around the world, having the most incredible food experiences and drink experiences, and even came here to Detroit and did stuff here in Detroit. I saw on the news this morning.
Big celebrity, huge following on TV,
yeah.
You know.
But we so quickly forget that two famous people died. We lose 22 veterans every day in this country. 22, folks. And so it would behoove all of us to take a little time, take a little effort. Look at the people around you. You never really know what's going on in somebody's heads. I mean, is it depression? Is it boredom? Is it just life's too stressful? Do they miss somebody? There's a million reasons that somebody might result to taking their own life.
We had a guest on here in February. You were off, and we had a guy come in. He headed up Reboot Recovery in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this – they're part of Project – I think it's Project 22. And this is basically, reduced to vets mostly. Unfortunately, that gentleman died of a heart attack recently. I was just informed last week.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was a great guy. He was a pastor. He was a great guy, a vet. He was helping people left and right.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But Project Reboot Recovery – if you have somebody or you are yourself suffering from the demons of depression that would drive you to something like this, check them out.
Yeah.
They can help.
Yeah. Well, one of our longtime listeners and friend of ours, friend of the show, Joe from Wyandotte. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, good. Well, you know, Joe, you affected me. Well, you always affect me, but you affected me
this time. This time's for good, though, right?
This time for in a good way, because Joe put himself out there and discussed, you know, his thoughts on suicide. And Joe, I'm going to let you go because your post this morning affected me enough that I changed the show a little bit.
Well,
this
he always morning. Redirects the show, you know. It's Joe.
and so Joe, tell us a little bit about your background when it comes to suicide, because you were so open on your post this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, Joe's just awesome. So
yeah,
go ahead.
Before I share that, I you kind of touched on it. You don't know what somebody's thinking. Frankly, if somebody has those kind of thoughts, they're also thinking that if I share this with a family member or friend, they'll think less of me. So it's important to reach out to family members and friends and tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much you appreciate having them in your lives.
Yeah.
And
you know what, Joe? That's important because here's the thought. You know, we all go through depressions. We all have these issues. And there are probably times when almost everybody has thought, you know, I just wish. But you can't be selfish like that because, you know, you're not hurting – well, you're hurting your own chances of having a good full life right to the end. But you will hurt your loved ones, your family, your parents, your siblings, your friends. The damage you do to all of those people who will think the rest of your lives, what did I miss? What did I do? What didn't I do? And so when you reach that point where you really think you want to off yourself because life has gotten so bad, think about the people that will be excruciatingly hurt and forever changed because you did what you did. You know, so please reach out. Don't give up. Don't get that way. It's important.
Along those lines, I was in Germany. I was in a room. A friend of mine and I were talking and we're both pretty depressed, and we were talking about, you know, this is just, you know, this is horrible. You know, we ought to off ourselves. And we, you know, we were very, very depressed in the situation we were, but I don't think we seriously considered offing ourselves. But the point was we both looked at each other, yeah, but it looked bad on our resumes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it would just doesn't look – people have to clean up after you. It puts people in a situation of mourning for you. You are more appreciated than people than you think you are.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and it's important that people donate to suicide prevention services. On my Facebook post, I put a link to one of them. It's important to donate because they need to advertise. Like, you had a public service announcement before your show, Wham! Did, about opioid addiction and the need to reach out. The same thing is true, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I don't have the stats to back it up. But, again, just based on my own feelings, I think that people are more likely to potentially reach out to a stranger than a family or friend. And so those suicide prevention services need to be able to advertise so that people have a place to reach out to. But, yeah, it was 2006, and I had those thoughts for some time before that. I'm on disability. I have been since 2004. That set in a very deep, dark depression. And one night, it was like it wasn't me. And, you know, I'm certainly not speaking for everyone who goes through this. This was just my situation. But it was weird. I was like outside of my body. I could tell what I was doing, but I didn't feel like I was in control. And I tried to OD on prescription medication. And still to this day, though, I struggle every day, every night with those problems and with those thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Joe. Well, you know, you can always call me or email me or Facebook. You'll get my – just do – let's talk tariffs, and that'll keep you busy long enough to get over it, right?
Yeah.
Well, but even Gruber talked about it earlier this week here on Wham! Talk 1600. And in 2016, nearly 45,000 people were lost to suicide. 1 year in the United States, 45,000 people killed themselves because they felt unloved, unworthy, they were tired. I mean, maybe some of them had disease and they didn't want to prolong the suffering, right? Different story. We could do a whole show on that alone. But 45,000 people, think about – that's like getting close to how many men we lost in Vietnam, right? So we need to take a little more attention, whether it's people in your family or people with friends. Take a little look at them and tell them you love them. Tell them they're worthy. Tell them that they've got lots to live for. Because you know what? Each and every one of us has something to live for. And if you don't think it's just you, then be a mentor. You know, look at people around you and help them out. Try and push that feeling off long enough to help somebody else. Because every one of us has value. We really do. I mean, there are times I don't feel very valuable, you know. But I throw myself into this radio show, my Facebook, my Twitter, elections, whatever. Maybe that's a way of covering up for not doing things to help other people. Maybe, I don't know.
I am refraining from commenting because I see this as primarily a spiritual issue, and I don't know if you want to go there.
Oh, well, let's hold that for another show. But you are correct. We are losing our spirit. When you look at suicide rates, 6%, 58% more in North Dakota. It's why are more people in the United States, the greatest country on the planet, we have a higher standard of living than anywhere else in the world, and people are committing suicide. Now, I look at that 45,000. Are there any mistakes in there? People that died of opioid overdose not intending to commit suicide? I don't know if that rate is for that or if those were all people that fully intended doing what they're doing, you know. But it's good that you brought it up, Joe.
Well, I was certainly not intending to do this on the radio, but since I publicly posted on Facebook last night and you saw it, I felt last night an overwhelming urge to share that publicly came over me in the hopes that I could raise money for suicide prevention and in the hopes that I could touch somebody who might be feeling that way that they may reach out.
Well, let me ask you then. Ed owns The Courant, CourantOnline.com, and we print 24,000 still and distribute. Mm-hmm. Joe, would you be willing to write a column and talk about that and get that out there? Because, you know, with two people per household, that's easily reaching maybe 50,000 people.
We would share some links to suicide prevention hotlines in Livingston County area.
If you're willing to do that, Joe, we'd love to do that because I think you could touch a lot more people with that story than even you're seeing on Facebook. Uh-huh. You know, so
well,
think about it.
I'd be willing to do that. I'm not sure that I could come up with enough and the right words to put a whole column together. I mean, you saw my Facebook post. The column would kind of be that post, and maybe I could elaborate a little more here and there, and then Ed could decide whether he felt that was worthy enough or good enough.
Well, you know what?
Might edit it up.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll contact the local suicide hotline and see if they can provide something then, if you're not comfortable with that. But I can talk to you about it later. We can work out maybe a hybrid.
It's not that I'm uncomfortable with it. It's just that I don't think I'd be good enough for it, and I think someone better at it.
No.
I feel the same way about it, Joe. I don't think you'd be good enough.
You are good. Doggone it, you're good
enough.
But don't
kill yourself over that. You know, I mean,
yes. Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, definitely work with Ed and put something together because, you know, when you put the personal touch on it like that, I think it really does reach out to people. And so I just want people to know that you really need to be aware because you don't know. That person who's the biggest, smiling, happiest-go-lucky guy or gal might inside not be feeling that way, you know,
mm-hmm. hiding. Oh, and you hit it because a lot of people – remember Robin Williams – he used comedy to hide the pain. People think of me when they hear me on the radio as a very serious person, but you know me personally, I joke around a lot, and it's done to hide pain.
Yeah. It's odd. When I'm looking at the map from the story, and there's a link on the Drift, the Daily Drift there was only one state that had a decrease. You want to know what state that was?
Hawaii?
Nevada.
Nevada. Really?
Gambling, baby! It's got to be, it's America's party town, right? It's Nevada. I don't know. So I,
and the suicide rate is lower?
If you're feeling low, go to Nevada. What happens in Nevada stays in Nevada, I guess, right?
And you would think with Nevada, people go out there to lose their house or life savings that they might commit suicide. That seems antithetical in a way.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, oddly enough, that's the one state that had a decrease. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So, Joe, before we move on, I'm going to give you this one shot, because you missed the show last week, to give us your view on why tariffs are bad. So, go. I'm going to let you go.
Well, just historically, I view it as. But as you saw on my Facebook post, I would actually be willing to go further than you. It's a definition of terms for one that we have with each other. First and foremost, is a tariff a tax? Yes, it is. Is tax increases on American citizens a liberal idea? Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, are there other ways that we can go about this? Yes, there are. If we want to be serious, rather than punishing American citizens with a tax, we tell China or Mexico, whoever we're wishing to punish, we're not, as of January 1st, 2019, you may not send any more widgets. Let's just use the widgets.
So you're saying
pile up in your warehouses. You let your factories have to lay off all your workers because no other markets will bear the burden of you dumping your widgets.
Okay, so
wait,
let's stop.
You
there
said
for one
tax.
Second.
Who's paying the tariff? Let's be clear.
American citizens.
Oh, okay, no. You think that the tariff gets tacked on to the price as, oh, here's your 6% Michigan sales tax. Oh, and here's the tariff. Or does the importer pay that fee?
It lands up eventually in the consumer's price.
Yeah, I see where Joe's going. So Joe's calling it a tax because, like, in the case of, let's say, the aluminum, right? And we played something from Wilbur Ross on this before. We raise the tax, the tariffs on aluminum. Costs are going to go up X percent. And in the case of the aluminum, it turned out to be like 0.03 of a percent or 0.03 of a cent on a can of Coke or pop or whatever, right? So, yes, in a way, that is true. So the consumer will pay more. But let me ask you this, Joe. If we do what you said and we just tell China, Canada, Mexico, we're locking you down. You're not sending any more aluminum here. You're not sending any more steel here. Prices are going to go up still.
Well, you've got to do it at a date future, again, to give time for U.S. production and or other sources to be found to try and offset that. But I don't deny that, yes, prices could also go up.
Yes, and that's the point.
If you want to punish your enemy, that's the way to do it. Yeah. You're not just solely punishing American citizens.
Right. So here's the point I'm trying to make. It's a negotiating tactic, and this is what I want to say to you, because when Canada puts 270% tariff on our dairy products, 270%, and Donald Trump just wants to do, I don't know if we're doing dairy back at them that same fashion now, and it's not working in a vacuum. One product, and I can see where two countries may say, hey, you want to protect your dairy farms, I want to protect our steel farms, you go do 270, I'll do 270, whatever. I mean, there's quid pro quo, right? There's always, it should be there. Steel factories. So, but what I'm saying is, quid pro quo. You know what? All these countries, Canada, Mexico, Europe, Japan, China, are putting high tariffs on our products. We don't even come close. This was the system set up after World War II. And all Trump is trying to do is get it leveled out to that point where people are being fairly treated. And I don't know that that's happening right now.
It's a bargaining tactic. Trump said this morning, I heard it on the news this morning, Trump said, we need to get to a point where there are no tariffs. That would be the thing.
Yes.
No tariffs.
Yes.
So how do you get the other guy to remove his tariffs? You impose tariffs on his stuff or threaten to do that.
Yes,
you have
that's all
no
you can
other
do.
Control over that. So if you want to see those tariffs go away, if that's not a tariff war, you're not saying, we'll raise our tariffs, you raise your tariffs. It's, no, we'll raise our tariffs until you lower yours.
Okay. In the end, Joe, here's what we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's all we can say. Let's let this play out. Let's see what NAFTA happens with. I think Trump went into this G7 summit with the right hand. He went in strong, and again, it's the Trumpism, right? I'm going in, I'm going big tariffs, the heck with you and your G7, why don't we make a G8, bring in Russia again and the whole nine yards?
Because he's in Russia's pocket, you know?
And I am with you, and I agree wholeheartedly, we've been taken advantage of too long, and we must demand these agreements being renegotiated.
Yes.
So I am with you on that. Okay. It is the manner in which we think we can go about it and what will ultimately harm our enemies rather than just harm ourselves.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Joe. As always, good to hear from you. And let's give that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline again one more time. 1-800-273-8255. That's 273-8255. If you know somebody,
take care, guys. Love you.
Take care.
Remember, Joe, we love you.
All right, take care. Let's take a quick. It was Pastor Rick. He was just outside the window. Go ahead, Pastor Rick. What do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on this tariff.
Oh, I'm going to shoot myself.
Calling it a tax is kind of disingenuous here. The fact is we have other avenues of getting steel over here other than these countries that we'd be charging tariffs to. Actually, what it would do is cause us to use more U.S. steel and steal from countries that we're not charging tariffs to, rather than them. Therefore, it's not going to cause a pay increase. The only one that's getting punished in this group are the ones that we're putting tariffs on, which then all of a sudden puts our president in good negotiating power on NAFTA.
Yes.
That sounds reasonable.
I agree. Well, excellent call, Pastor Rick. I saw you. You should have put a little sign up in the window saying, I want to come in and talk. Yeah, you don't have to call in.
I did. You didn't read it.
Oh, I didn't. Did you hold something up? And my,
never stopped. The eyes in the back of my head weren't working. I had them closed.
When I take my glasses off, I can see Ed here without my glasses. It's perfect, but I can't see hardly Derek's just a shape over there.
You know, nothing's ever stopped him from opening the door before, you know.
All right.
Take care. All right. Well, we're winding down to the bottom. Boy, that went quick, didn't it?
It's...
How many minutes we got, Derek?
It's 7:45.
No, that clock. Well, that hurts, too. The clock in here is off a little bit. I keep looking at it. I'm like, what? It seems to be working, but it's not. Well, we're going to talk about the Singapore summit coming up when we come back from the break. And I'm going to laugh. You're going to laugh because we talked about this just kind of 2 weeks ago, and I thought it was funny, and I kind of tweeted it out. But let me get one other business in here while we got an extra minute. If you're looking for something to do tonight, go to Burroughs Roadhouse, 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000, Burroughs Roadhouse, located in West Brighton on Brighton Road, 5311 Brighton Road. Or you can go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. If you go to thecurrentonline.com, you can see $15 off any four entrees, 15% off Sunday brunch, and they have a wonderful Sunday brunch out there at Burroughs Roadhouse. Great pizza, great food, great steaks, great drinks. They have band nights on Thursdays. Sunday barbecue, 3 to 9 p.m. Combo plate special starting at $12.99. So it is a great atmosphere. They've got some gluten-free menu going on. Get your butt out to Burroughs, 810-227-6000. Have you been out there lately?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a Thursday? Wonderful place. No, Thursday.
Oh, my gosh. Thursday, you better get there early.
I can't get anywhere early. Are you kidding me? And then fight 23 to get there?
You need to move out our way.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? You're stuck down here in Ypsilanti? Do you really like it down here? You need to move.
Look, you're making me depressed.
Okay. I'm not depressed.
I'm going to have to call the suicide hotline pretty soon. You know,
I'm not saying.
No, I love Ypsilanti. I love the Whitmore Lake area too. I am torn, but my house is paid for. And I am only 5 minutes away from the lake where I live right now. So,
oh, that's right, because you're the Belleville guy, right? Mm-hmm. You like Belleville. I saw a little video on Facebook the other day. You stuck out there.
Oh, did you see? Isn't that amazing?
I did. Huh. Okay, well, there's the hard break. Yeah. Thank you, Derek. We will see you on the other side, and we're going to talk North Korea. See you then.
always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. With the G7 summit now in the books, the next stop for President Trump is Singapore and a sit-down with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
This will be the first time a sitting U.S. president has met face-to-face with a North Korean leader. And according to the Singapore government, more than 2,500 journalists have registered to cover the historic meeting. And while North Korea has been silent in terms of outlining its goals for the summit, the U.S. has made it clear that its aim is a commitment from Pyongyang to denuclearize.
Fox's John Decker in Singapore. The president giving an overall positive review of the just-concluded meeting in Quebec.
We tackled a variety of issues and opportunities facing our nations. At the top of the list was the issue of trade. Very important subject because the United States has been taken advantage of for decades and decades, and we can't do that anymore.
Fox News, we report, you decide.
What kind of a country turns its tax collectors into secret police? And what do you call a government that values its own survival above the rights of its people? A country where leaders act like mob bosses, attacking citizens with rules and restrictions they fear they'll never have the power to overcome. Where the content of your prayers is between you, your God, and your government. Our nation of laws is becoming a nation of corruption, where whoever has the power throws their punches while they can. Everyone loses under this type of lawlessness. So we must do now what we've always done as Americans. As good guys, speak out. No government agency has the right to attack its citizens with fear. We are the 5 million men and women of the National Rifle Association of America, leaders in the fight for freedom for all. Join us.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
When I got into my room, there were happy faces welcoming me. The PT people there peeked around the door the next morning and said, "You're going to walk with us." And I said, "Oh, no, I can't." But I did. They don't push you. They lead you very kindly. And the next thing you know, you're doing it. They have a wonderful attitude.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with It's Ed Bondarenka.
Good to be here.
Oh, it is good to be here.
Yes.
I'm in a good mood today, you know.
You are. You're not angry.
I'm not angry. Nothing to be angry about, right? Well, I do want to mention this, right? Wham Radio has been granted FCC approval to build out and start broadcasting over an FM signal. And folks, this is my personal dream. I want to breach the ramparts of the FM airwaves. So please, I want you to help us out by donating whatever you can. A couple bucks, $1,000, $20,000, whatever you have. If you're wealthy, give heartily. But if you can't, just give a little bit. You can go to GoFundMe.com, GoFundMe.com, type in the search bar Wham Radio, and help us raise some money so that we can get FM signal going here for Wham Talk 1600, right? It'd be awesome. It really would. We'd be able to reach more people. We'd be able to get our we have awesome content here, and more people need to reach this content and be aware of it and educate themselves through Wham's content. The FM signal will be clear and present 24 hours a day, which is awesome. And you can help get these out by going to GoFundMe.com, put Wham Radio in the search bar, and give whatever you can afford to give. It's really important for us to do this, and it's my personal dream. So please, let's get all our good content out on the FM airwaves by going to GoFundMe.com, Wham Radio. Okay, aren't you excited about that? I'm super excited.
Yes, yes. I mean, you and I will come across in clear FM.
You like us? You know? Yes, I want to do this. I really do. It's important to me, folks, and it should be important to you because then you can get all this great content.
It's important to the revolution. It's important to saving America.
The revolution will be broadcast on FM radio here at Wham Talk 1600.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Okay, so I loved some of the news this week. We've got the Singapore summit is back on, and North Korea is going to sit down with America, with President Trump and North Korean Chairman Kim Jong-un. And we laughed 2 weeks ago, right? I kind of said this. Derek, you got track one ready? This is from our 2 weeks ago show. And I was kind of laughing about it. And when I heard the news this week about Dennis Rodman possibly being in Singapore, I laughed, right? Go ahead and play that track. This is from 2 weeks ago. Oddly enough, I don't think Kim Jong-un is exactly like his dad. I'm sure he likes to drink booze and womanize and everything else just like his dad.
He had Western exposure,
but
right?
He had Western exposure. The fact that one of his best friends in the world is Dennis Rodman, right? and if I were Donald Trump, I'd say, you know what, Kim Jong-un, why don't you just come to the U.S., forget Singapore. Have the Chinese president, President Xi, come with you and stay with you, right? So you're protected. Nothing's going to happen to the Chinese president, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're together, he's protected. Come on over. Have Dennis Rodman meet him at the airport. Have Dennis stay with him. Nothing's going to happen when the president's there from China and Dennis Rodman. You'll be as safe as you could possibly be. All right. Prophetic?
Yes.
Once again, the drift, cutting edge.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why would you listen to your news anywhere else? We'll tell you the news that's going to happen.
It's just out of the box thinking, which is what I like about our government at this point. It's been 18 months. Things, you know, Pastor Rick was just in here saying Mark Cuban was saying the economy would crash under Trump like so many other people, and the economy is just blowing through the roof. But it's important, and I'm waiting to see what will come of that. I'm hoping, but I don't expect that there be a deal come out of this summit. But I think it'll be a good step toward cutting a deal. And I think if, you know, Dennis Rodman being there is certainly going to make Kim Jong-un, I think, more comfortable and hopefully make him realize there's a greater world than just hiding out in your hermit kingdom of North Korea. You can get out, travel the world, not be a dictator, right? You can be the guy that freed your country, opened your country up. Wouldn't you want that as your legacy as opposed to being, I'm famous in my country.
I'm the guy that drove our nation into the ground economically.
And I'm hoping that carrot and stick from the United States and these negotiations is what's happening there. Listen, you can live a normal life amongst the family of nations instead of being secluded in your hermit kingdom. And I'm hoping that something good will come of this. I don't expect it to happen overnight. I think it'll be a series of steps. If they can both come away from this being comfortable building that relationship, right, I think that's the main thing that should come out of the summit down here in Singapore.
I'm trying to read the tea leaves of those three generals that he had. These were big guys, and they got relieved of their commands.
I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Un just recently removed three major generals. One, I can't remember their post, but when I heard their post, that's major. That's like Secretary of Defense kind of stuff level. And they were relieved recently.
Were they the hardliners? Were these like the three guys that were pushing?
No, I'm imagining so. I'm hoping so. That these guys were resistant to Un meeting with Trump. And so we don't know what their fate was. you know, he has a habit of putting people in front of rocket launchers as a demonstration of.
Isn't that urban? We don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
We always hear those stories. It could be urban legend. It could be myths or whatever. But, yeah, all I'm hoping for is that a relationship building starts. I don't expect anything more to come out of this Singapore summit than we're going to continue talking. We're going to start seeing some regular negotiations. Maybe we'll actually get some kind of a facility or an ambassadorship to go there, you know, start that relationship building, because I think that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Before you can come to a deal, you got to be comfortable with one another, and I think that's really the most important thing. 734-822-1600, if you want to call into the show and talk about the North Korean summit, I'd love to have you do that. One of the other questions that somebody asked Mike Pompeo in a meeting.
Yeah.
What do we call it when the journalists are there?
Press
conference.
Conference.
Okay. Drawing a blank, right?
A presser.
Worried about whatever deal we can come up with. Is it going to stick? How do you know it's going to stick? What's going to happen? And I loved what I heard from Mike Pompeo. Derek, do you have track two ready? All right, this is Mike Pompeo at the press conference when somebody asked him a question about how this deal would it stick. Go ahead and play that.
We have seen in this administration that that when new administrations come in, they can undo things that prior administrations have done. How can President Trump guarantee long-term security for North Korea and for Kim in particular?
We are hopeful that we will put ourselves in a position where we can do something the previous administration didn't do, right? They signed a flimsy piece of paper, and we're hoping to submit a document that Congress would also have a say in that would give currency and strength and elongation to the process so that when administrations do change, as they inevitably do, and this one will, 6.5 years from now, when that takes place, that Chairman Kim will have comfort that American policy will continue to down the same path on the course that we hope we're able to set in Singapore.
Okay.
So 6.5 years from now, I like that for one. That's optimistic, and that's at the rate we're going, that's going to be happening. And then the other is, why shouldn't UN be afraid that Democrats would come in and Gaddafi him?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had made a deal with Gaddafi. Give up your nukes. You're good. We'll protect you. And then the Clintonistas under Obama went in and killed him.
Yeah.
With the Libyan
spree. And Hillary laughed about it.
Yeah.
And that – probably one of the things I hate most about Hillary Clinton when she said, we came, we saw, he died. And she laughed at the death of another human being.
Yeah.
That
we had made a deal with.
We dodged the biggest evil bullet by not electing that evil woman to the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God we did. But Pompeo's right. The deal should be cut. It should be brought before Congress. Congress should –
a treaty.
Ratify the treaty, make it a treaty, and let Kim Jong-un's administration play itself out over time, whether he's there for the rest of his life or whether he gets bored and rich and decides to leave and have an open election. Let that be. But if he's willing to open up his country and disarm the nukes and become a member of the world family peaceful, then let him stay there until it plays out in his own time. You know what I mean? At some point, he'll want to retire, and there will probably be elections in North Korea at some point. I don't know that you're ever going to see a North and South Korea unification. I just don't see that. Not in our lifetime.
Maybe not a unification, but certainly agreements, economic agreements that would be very similar to that.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe. Let's take a call from Dick Kupke calling in about Singapore. What? Go ahead, Dick.
Hi, Gary. What I wanted to elaborate on was what I heard about Ed's comments about the three generals were displaced, and that, yes, they were hardliners and stuff, but the concern for Kim Jong-un was that, he doesn't travel much, okay? And what he was concerned about is that these guys were such hardliners and disapproved of this meeting so much that while he was out of the country, that there would be a military coup.
I'd heard other concerns along that line, and I thought, but he has traveled to China, but maybe this is more I mean, you could be right, but he has left the country for short periods of time before. But this may be closer to the summit, so that that might be a
Well, good. Anyway, interesting
thought. I heard it; it made sense to me. I really think the guy's sincere in that he probably saw the writing on the wall that I'm not going to get anywhere through force, and if I really want to leave a legacy for North Korea, it'll be bringing it into the free world. So
I'm hoping that somebody, maybe it was Dennis Rodman, explained that to him and said, "Hey, man, you can go down in history as a great guy instead of a villain. Better to be a superhero than a villain, right?"
Absolutely. You know, sometimes the writing
Thanks
on the
wall. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, take care, Dick. Thanks. Great thoughts.
Sometimes the writing on the wall can look like that display at NORAD. You know, that's a big wall.
It is a big wall. Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Jimmy.
I want to talk about something other than that, I guess. The G7.
Yep.
Have you noticed? I mean, now we have an actual leader as President of the United States.
Yeah, I have noticed.
In case you didn't notice this. He has gone in there, and the Japanese and the Italians are saying, yeah, where's Russia? This needs to be the G8. We need to have unity. And he's trying to really lead in the world. I'm very impressed. And he's leading these nationalists and these populist movements all over the world. It's very refreshing to see. We're moving away from globalism, and countries are becoming their own sovereign countries again.
Yeah, I don't like everything being centrist by the central globalism one world thing, because you know what? It concentrates power in one spot, and that's always bad for the people who aren't in that spot. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's good that the nationalism will come back a little bit. Let everybody take care of themselves, and then you can kind of work together in unity as separate, as a confederation instead of a central global government. I don't want a global government.
No.
You know,
That makes it the end times. You know what I mean? That's scary. Then you got 7 years and it's a.
Well, you're right, Jimmy. And here's the other thing. Ignoring Russia. Who made that decision to just say we're going to ignore Russia?
Well, you, England you was part like of them. That because of that ex-spy getting poisoned and some of this,
And there are ways.
They dissed Russia a long time ago because the Russia wouldn't go along with them. Russia was for Russia. They didn't want to. They want to play with everybody else, of course. They want to trade, but they're for themselves, as they should be.
Yeah.
Russia first. America first. Italy first, if that's where you live. You know, come on.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, great comments, Jimmy. Anything else?
No, that's it. I just thought that people were missing that a little bit. I see our president as being not only a great leader in this country, and I think he is, but he's leading the world. He is an amazing human being, really he is.
If nothing else, he is. He's waking the rest of the world up to, you know what, take care of yourselves and your people first, instead of trying to be this global conglomerate of the Rothschilds, the Soroses, and whoever else is behind it. I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on and say it's the Illuminati, right, or whoever it is. Call them whatever you want. There is a group of people in this world who want to control everything, and that's not fair.
The banksters.
Right. It's the banksters and the global communists.
Right.
I mean, that's really what it is. And everybody wants to run around and say, well, fascism's against communism. No, it's not. It's the same thing. Just stop it. You know, just realize that you have to take care of your own self. I mean, you could call me a fascist because I want to take care of my children and my family first before I do anything else.
Yep.
So does that make me a fascist? Well, if it does, fine. So what?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call.
Pretty thoughtful, Jimmy.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Bye.
All right, so I wanted to get to this next track because people need to get active. You need to be calling your congressman because you've heard of the discharge petition. It's been kind of pandered around the edges, but I don't think it's getting the exposure that it needs to. And I think the GOP elite are doing something bad when we talk about immigration. I think they're kind of a group of them pushing for this amnesty. Right, and they're setting it up in a way that
explain this to me a little more clearly, because I have not really.
I'm going to let Congressman Zeldin of New York, who's being interviewed on Breitbart, explain it to you, because I'm no more educated than you are. Oh. So let's let the experts talk about it. Derek, you got track three together. Go ahead.
Final question real quick, just a quick follow-up. We've got this discharge petition in the House. Where do we stand on that? Are Republican lawmakers going to be, you know, giving us amnesty, something that, you know, Trump's base obviously doesn't want?
Well, I didn't sign the discharge petition. I actually oppose the discharge petition. It's a vehicle, in my opinion, that basically creates a process to pass whatever Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are going to pass. That's the version that would get the votes. That's how the other side would operate in working through this process. I co-sponsor the Goodlatte bill, and there are some conversations going on of how to make even that bill better, which would be great. But that's the one that has been more consistent with what the president had, what the president campaigned on, what he's been talking about since the election. We have a lot of support for that bill. I don't know if we have 218, but quite honestly, we've had a Republican president, a Democratic president, and a Republican president. We've had Republican Congresses, Democratic Congresses, and basically every combination thereof of mixed Congresses with different presidents. And over the course of the last decade plus, we haven't been able to get a big immigration bill done. I think it's really important for us to understand that this is a difficult issue, yes, but just because we have such a strong desire to pass an immigration bill doesn't mean that we should be in a rush to pass any immigration bill. And we can't repeat the mistakes of the past, where if you pass the wrong bill, you end up incentivizing illegal immigration, where the numbers start to even multiply. We're coming back to D.C. on Tuesday. The House Republicans are getting together for a several-hour conference Wednesday morning to talk about the issue, to vet it out, and hopefully we're able to come to some resolution. But I don't believe this discharge petition is the right answer.
Congressman Zeldin, thank you so much for joining me. A pleasure.
Okay, so, but this is DREAM Act only. This has to do with DACA, and it's giving it, when they say 30 million, well, they keep saying there's 12, 13 million DACA recipients, but then there's all their family members that will be chain migrationed in also.
Right.
But this is not, you know, everybody who's here, this is DACA recipients.
But again, it's the incentivization is what he's worried about. And, you know, first thing, get the doggone wall built.
Yes.
Build the wall, well, secure the border so that we can stop the influx from coming over. That's the first thing you do. Then we'll talk about dealing with who's here, who can stay, who cannot stay. I'm fine with giving some people who came illegally, if all the conditions are right, everything's perfect, and you came over, you're peaceful, you're paying tax, you're willing to work, you're not sucking off the system, we can talk about some kind of a path to staying here, green card. I'm not necessarily up for citizenship for anybody if you came over illegally. But a plan to stay here, maybe. But I think what the Republicans are doing here, and this is what Zeldin
stabbing
talking about.
Trump.
They're stabbing Trump in the back. They're going to get right. This is what Republicans do over and over again. They cave into the Democrats. They're working in conjunction with the Democrats to screw the American person over. And it's just, now I'm getting steamed, right?
So Trump is not opposed to DACA normalization, some form of DACA normalization. Let's put it that way without going full-blown amnesty.
Yeah, and he's proved it.
But yes, but his point is, give me the wall. I'll trade you the wall. He's a negotiator.
Yes.
I'll trade you the wall for DACA, Democrats. And these stab in the back Republicans are saying, let's discharge this out of committee and bring it up for a vote that the Democrats will want to give us DACA without getting anything in return. We don't get a wall.
Yeah, and it's Paul Ryan behind it. And I hope we can get to this track. I got one last, but we want to take a call from Donna in Whitmore Lake. Donna, welcome to the show.
Hi, you guys.
Hi, Donna.
Real quick, I wanted to make a comment about the steel tariff, if this has something to do with it. I bought edging for the garden, the steel, well, it looks like aluminum, edging.
Yeah.
And I went, because I needed two more pieces, they come in 8-foot lengths. They said that 1 8-foot length is now $33 for one. Just for the edging, and they said it's because the steel prices have gone up. Is it because of these tariffs? Double in price now.
Did we implement the tariffs?
I don't think the tariffs had even been implemented yet. So I think that's just price gouging, if you ask me. I would look and shop around a little before you purchase it at that price. If they've jacked it, what was it before $33?
It was half.
Okay, so it might be a little price gouging because I'm with you, Ed. I'm not sure that the tariffs actually went into effect already. So
a friend of mine sells ball bearings, and he says, "Oh, if the tariffs come into effect, I'll be out of a job." You know.
Okay. All right. And so, then I wanted to make a comment. Everybody out there, if you guys could support Wham and give some money, you guys have given me a voice.
Thanks.
Let's try and do that,
Gary. As a teacher, I get pretty frustrated, and Saron listens to me and puts me on the air. And thank God for Wham. So
thanks, Don.
You're
always welcome. Call in anytime.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. All right, Derek, how much time we got left? 2 minutes. I know it's not enough time, unfortunately. I wanted to get to this. Lou Dobbs was interviewing Rep. Matt Gaetz, and if you've seen Rep. Matt Gaetz, you've seen him. You'll know his face.
Okay.
This is one of the up-and-comers in my book for the GOP. This guy is a strong Trump supporter, a real Republican, a conservative, not these elite douchebag Republicans
swamp
like Paul
dwellers.
Ryan, swamp dwellers, right? And I wanted to get this, but maybe we'll tie it into next week. I'll find a way to tie it into next week's show. But Lou Dobbs, I love Lou Dobbs.
I'm liking Lou Dobbs a lot. I've started DVR him and watching him.
Yeah, absolutely. Lou Dobbs is, I think, one of the stars of the Fox network. It's actually Fox Business, I think, not Fox.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But I find myself watching more Fox Business, actually, than Fox News because I can't stand the likes of Shepard Smith.
Well, don't watch Shepard Smith.
I know.
I don't have time.
With
Brett Baer and Tucker Carlson, and I'm even liking that. What's her in between?
Martha McCallum.
Yeah, that's
Martha is
really
very fair,
good.
You know, and Brett Baer is normally pretty fair. I don't think he digs deep enough is part of the problem I have.
Well,
with
his
Brett
panel
Baer.
Upsets me too.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, let's mention this. God bless Charles Krauthammer. I've had
my differences
with his opinion sometimes, but he's dying, and he sent out a letter saying, "Hey, I'm dying of cancer. I've only got a few weeks to live." God bless you, Charles Krauthammer. He was a guy that initially was a Democrat, liberal. And over the years, became
wised up.
Yeah, wised up and became a conservative,
strong conservative thinker. Yeah. A guy who could explain it.
Not a Trump supporter by any
not
stretch of the imagination. I had a lot of issues with him, and I would love to see him one or two more times. I would love to talk to him right now to say, Trump's been in office for 18 months. What's your last take, Charles?
Yeah.
Please tell us what your last take on Trump.
But he's busy fighting for his life right now.
Yeah. Well,
actually, he's given the fight up. He's going. He figures he's got 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be tough knowing that your hours are winding down like that. So God bless you, Charles Krauthammer, and thanks for all that you've done over the years for broadcasting, television, radio, and books, and everything else he's done. So something to think about. And did you want to give a shout-out for The Current?
Yes. Well, folks, I would appreciate it if you would, when you read The Current, look at the advertisers and then shop there and let them know that you were – shown the way by The Current, currentonline.com.
Yep. If you don't get it, hard copy in the mail, CourantOnline.com, and you can print off and take those coupons into those advertisers.
Yep.
Okay. Till next week, go to thedailydrift.com. See you then.